This is Capital Insider, your weekly look inside Oklahoma politics, policy, and government. I'm Dick Pryor with the Capital News Director, Sean Ashley. Sean, the U.S. Department of Interior has approved two gaming compacts with Oklahoma-based Native American tribes, the United Kitawa Band of Cherokee Indians and Kyleji Tribal Town. Why has the state entered into compacts with these tribes, and what do the compacts do?
Well, as we've talked about a couple of times before, compacts are necessary in order for tribes to have gaming operations in the state of Oklahoma. And what these compacts do is that they establish the games that can be played, they provide for the exclusivity fees that will be paid by the state, and they establish where the tribes can locate their gaming facilities. Now, in this case, neither of these tribes currently operate gaming facilities in the state of Oklahoma, so obviously they have an interest in doing so at some time in the future. But the provisions of these compacts, like those for the Odo Missouri tribe and the Comanche Nation, are not necessarily consistent with the State Tribal Gaming Act, which was approved by voters more than 12 years ago.
School is starting around the state with lots of different plans in place for how districts are going to deal with COVID-19. 3 weeks ago, State Superintendent Joy Hoffmeister told us a patchwork approach will not work, and she expects there will come a time when there will be a statewide uniform mask mandate. But there is still opposition to that.
From the top. On Tuesday, Governor Kevin Stitt and Superintendent Hoffmeister were together at an event to distribute personal protective equipment for school districts across the state. This equipment was purchased with money from the Federal CARES Act and will provide masks and other protective equipment for both students, staff, and teachers during the upcoming school year. Governor Stitt suggested that students in districts with low rates of infection could take off their mask once they got to their desk in the classroom. But at that same event, Superintendent Hoffmeister, on the other hand, said, if we're serious about having in-person learning, then school districts have to require masks. That's very much like she told us just a few weeks ago. The State Board of Education will meet this upcoming Thursday, and while we haven't seen an agenda for that meeting, it will be the first since they considered their recommendations back in July, and perhaps a mask mandate will be up for their vote.
The White House Coronavirus Task Force issued a report on August 16th that again showed Oklahoma's COVID-19 infection rate was in the red zone. That fact does not appear to be reflected in the state of Oklahoma's recent coronavirus response. What does that red zone status urge the state to do? And with schools and universities opening, is the state following the White House recommendations?
Let's look not only at the August 16th report, let's go back to July 14th. The first report from the task force. Both of them say exactly the same thing about Oklahoma. Oklahoma is in the red zone for cases. Now, they made a series of recommendations then, which largely the state has not adopted on a statewide basis. And in the current recommendations, they suggest that citizens, businesses, public health officials, hospitals, nursing homes, and schools work together to effectively implement the recommended mitigation strategies to control community transmission. And those recommended mitigation strategies include a statewide mask mandate, the closing of bars, limiting indoor restaurant dining, and a number of other measures along those lines. That's simply not being done in Oklahoma. Governor Kevin Stitt, like in this school district situation, has indicated that he opposes a statewide mask mandate, saying that it would be difficult to enforce, and he says Oklahomans do not want to see businesses close again. As a result, those decisions are being left to local leaders to implement, and we've seen mask mandates in a number of communities across the state of Oklahoma, and we've also seen some limits placed on businesses such as bars and restaurants, but again, at the local level and in a patchwork kind of manner.
Tuesday night is the primary runoff election in Oklahoma. The Republican nomination for 5th District Congress will be decided. What do the races look like for legislative offices?
Well, there are 8 legislative runoffs, all on the Republican side of the ticket. There are five in the Senate and three in the House. And three of those in the Senate do involve incumbents who may or may not be making a return to the state capitol. In any case, the winners of the runoffs on Tuesday will then advance to the general election in November, where they all have opponents.
Thanks, Sean. We'll talk again on Tuesday night after the polls close. There will be updates on eCapital's Twitter feed, on air at KGOU, and on our social media, and results and analysis on the OklahomaEngaged.com website starting at 7 p.m. That's Capital Insider. If you have questions, email us at news@kgou.org or contact us on Twitter at KGOU News and at eCapital. You can also find us online at kgou.org and ecapital.net. Until next time, with Sean Ashley, I'm Dick Pryor.